welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. Now, for folks who are maybe sharp-eyed and were looking at our website, we were planning on looking at the intersection of Indigenous sexuality and, well, being Indigenous and sexuality, I think that particular intersection. However, our guest was unable to make it. So, we are going to be talking about the news.
Bits
and pieces of the news. Yes, absolutely. Now, we set each other a challenge, though. And this was quite a substantial challenge, and one that I think we've met. We'll soon find out. And the challenge was to look at gay news stories which were not about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, my stomach turned a little just saying the name.
I mean, I found a story that I want to tell, even though it's tangentially related. But it's
so
really...
let's do that, and then we can walk away.
Oh,
from Donald Trump.
You want to start with this? Okay.
Yeah.
So Chuck Tingle, I know I've mentioned Chuck Tingle on the air before. He's an author that we on this show love and admire. He a year and a half ago, he got a Hugo Award nomination. For those of you who don't know what the Hugos are, it's a science fiction authorship competition. Well, not competition. It's an award, really, for like best science fiction book, movie, what have you, of the year. And he got a nomination for his short story, Space Raptor Butt Invasion. Now, to give you an idea, Chuck Tingle is a comedic gay erotica author who's also written great classics like Bigfoot Pirates Haunt My Balls, which I actually have at home. It's a good story. And this one might appeal to you. Pounded by the Pound, : Turned Gay by the Socioeconomic Implications of Britain Leaving the European Union. And on the cover of the book, because you can actually buy glossies of them, and it's actually a man, like a shirtless muscle man who's all greased up, and he's like making bedroom eyes at like a British pound with like a Hawkeye's face photoshopped onto a coin.
Like the Harlequin romance kind of style covers.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So he has opened up a new website called the Alternative Facts Warehouse. So it's made into the news recently where multiple members of...
Originally, it was Kellyanne Conway, who was his chief of staff in the campaign. Now, I don't know what her role is.
Yeah, nobody
but
really knows.
She's effectively just... Actually, there's been a lot of critique because she's not a part of the communications team, but she does a lot of communicating for him. And they're like, well, if she screws up, we get in trouble, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, how does that... Anyway, but that's enough Trump talk.
So she used the expression alternative facts, basically that she was lying.
Yeah.
And she was saying the stuff that she wanted to be true. And so she was just saying
stuff. Well, she was defending Trump and said that Trump had used alternative facts. And for folks not familiar, if it's not a fact, it's what's the falsehood? There we go. That's the
opposite.
It
could be a mistake. It could be an accidental misreporting.
It was a falsehood.
It could be archaic information. So, you could say, my friend is from Constantinople. Well, it kind of doesn't exist anymore. He's from Istanbul. But anyway, so he's opened up a website called Alternative Facts Warehouse. And to give you an idea, what he's doing is he's publishing things that are absolutely true, but from alternative timelines, because he actually does a lot of alternative timeline wordplay, both in his erotica and in his Twitter feed. So one of his favorite things is maybe once a week he'll say, I'm so glad to be sharing this timeline with all you wonderful people. So he actually talks about alternative timelines quite a bit. So this actually doesn't come out of nowhere. But he has... Okay, so he has one article, which is John Hamm is your handsome online bud who likes to Skype. And the article is just about this alternative timeline where John Hamm is your best bud who you talk with online all the time. Another one is Channing Tatum.
He's a cool guy.
He's a pretty chummy guy. Another one is Channing Tatum is the 45th president of the United States. And it has a picture of Channing Tatum from Magic Mike with like the bow tie collar and no shirt at the White House podium in the scrum. And then another one is he never actually talks about Donald Trump. He talks about Domald Trump. So D-O-M-A-L-D and then T-R-O-M-P. So Trump. And so he wrote an article called Domald Trump Cares About the Poor and Disenfranchised. And it's an alternative timeline story about Domald Trump, who is not, by the way, the president in that timeline.
Oh, he's just some guy.
He's just, he's just a tycoon who in 94, I think it was, jumped out of the audience and onto the stage in a WWE wrestling match and just punched somebody in the face.
Yeah, that clip surfaced recently.
Yeah.
And everyone's like... what?
This happened, yeah. And the weird thing is that the guys on stage have choreographed everything to minimize the amount of hurt they do to each other.
Yeah.
But Trump just went up and, like, nailed the guy straight in the face. And that's not how you do that. Also in the news, that white supremacist who got blindsided?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of debate as to whether or not you're allowed to actually punch a Nazi. Yeah. And I can't believe that the answer's coming back as no.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you ought not to punch anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, the number one thing you don't want to do is justify them, which is this guy has basically been saying, like, look, this is the kind of people we're dealing with, instead of, you know, somebody just walking up to him and handing him a nicely written handwritten letter with a good argument, well thought out, well researched on why he's a bad person and should stop talking.
Instead, they just punched him.
Yeah, which, yeah, you know, is an okay second option, but I really wish they had entertained the first. But so that is my story on Chuck Tingle so far. So what have you got for us? Are we going to go each side?
Yeah, so I was actually in the process of pulling up our first song. And this is our Canadian contribution of mm-hmm. the day. And I say that because I was having a bit of trouble getting my thing connected. So this is Future Politics, which is the album by Austra. This isn't the song Future Politics, though. This is...
From the album.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
By the way, if you know of any openly queer Canadian artists or bands that have openly queer members who are also Canadian, feel free to send us a message on Twitter or Facebook so that we can include them in the show. We tend to go in the same circles when we research music, because you tend to look at the charts that go through the NCRA, and I tend to go through the bowels of YouTube. But there's always other venues that we may not know about. So if you know of an artist that you'd like to see featured, just let us know.
So this particular song is called I Love You More Than You Love Yourself. It was just released. It's off the album Future Politics, which I did mention a little earlier. And this is from Austra. You're a big Austra fan.
Austra,
aren't you?
Yeah.
Austra, yeah. In based out of Toronto.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Good times. Anyways, when we're moving on, this is I Love You More Than You Love Yourself. And when we get back, we'll be looking at news not about Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. Now, as we mentioned earlier, with apart from the aside of Chuck Tingle, we're going to be talking about news which is not related to Donald Trump. Now, the most un-Donald Trump-related news that we have to share is the fact that we won an award. Now, we mentioned it last week, but I want to mention it again because I have it here in my hand. It's a beautiful award. It is Local FM Volunteer Awards 2017 Best Syndicated Program for the Velvet Studio, Luke Smith and Sebastian Plant. Now, we have renamed since this came out.
Yeah.
So for folks going, you know, this isn't Velvet Studio, what the heck? No, but...
There are still people who think of us as being the Velvet Studio.
Yeah. I mean, we are, but, you know, so. I mean,
that's like one huge eighth note, and I think it might be a middle C, but how it actually fits onto that treble clef, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. He's describing the award, which is like musical shaped, which is pretty cool. So we want to do a shout out.
Do you know how to read music? Folks. Like,
no.
Is that at all? That's not meaningful to you.
It looks pretty.
Okay.
And it's gold. So that's exciting.
Well, I'm sure it's not actual gold.
Well, I'm sure it is gold.
It's gold colored.
Okay, yes. We can agree on that. It is definitely at minimum gold colored. Now, but I want to start with some good news.
It's more electrum colored, really.
I think it's gold colored. But we're going to start with some good news. So, transgender citizens in the northwest city of Peshawar in Pakistan had a birthday celebration for one of its members. And that particular celebration was protected by the police. So, it's very, very rare for the trans community in Pakistan to kind of be publicly out and about and doing stuff, especially a big celebration like this. So to have the police kind of standing guard is a huge achievement, and we want to just kind of tip our hats, as it were, to that great news story. It's a shame news stories like that don't make it out very much.
Well, the thing is that it's a very subtle story. Like, on the surface, it just looks like, oh, somebody had security at their birthday party. That's weird. But the more you understand about the context, the more you understand how relevant it is. And unfortunately, the way that the news works is that if you have to do a 4-minute preamble in order to tell a story, that's usually considered bad news. Unless it is a feature article in The Guardian or The Economist, at which point a 4-minute preamble is just, that's just how do you say how do you do?
That's a standard. I mean, there's other ones like The Washington Post or The New York Times. They have pretty lengthy.
Oh, yeah. New York Times has some pretty long ones.
Some nice long forms.
Rolling Stone magazine as well. I always used to think of it as just a music magazine. And then you look at all the famous articles that came out of it, and it's kind of alarming. Some of the weird articles that you would not expect to be in there.
When you say alarming, I just imagine somebody opening up the Rolling Stone and going,
Yeah.
Startled by long form.
They didn't break Watergate, but I seem to recall that the Rolling Stone had the most cited article on Watergate when it was happening. Because it was just the amount of research. They delayed publishing. When they did delay, it was a lot of... Like The Economist, usually they're the last to publish on something, but they're the most thorough to publish on something. Well, it's also a monthly, isn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, there's that.
Actually, I think it's a bi-weekly, but same thing. So one news story that came out that tickled your fancy was, it's not really a news story. In 1973, a fire broke out in French Quarter of New Orleans?
New Orleans. That's
New
fine.
Orleans. And it took the lives of 32 people. They were burned beyond any recognition. And it was a
firebomb. It was an attack.
It was the upstairs lounge. It's believed to have been by an arsonist who was a patron of the bar. Now, this particular non-news story, because it happened in 72, is being made into a play being put on at in Manhattan. So that's a pretty exciting recognition of a very significant gay event.
Yeah. Before the... How did I forget the name of the bar? Before the shooting in Orlando last year.
Pulse.
Before Pulse, the Upstairs Lounge was the largest domestic terror act against the queer community in North America.
And the play is called The View Upstairs, named after the lounge, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of... I saw the clip, though. They did like a behind-the-scenes thing on Out
Now,
when magazine.
You said tickle my fancy, really my answer was, oh, it's about time. It wasn't like, oh, I'm delighted. Hee-hee-hee. It was more
well,
like...
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate because we're not really near Manhattan. So if you ever get near Manhattan, you know what they should do? You know how Cineplex has that streamed movie West End theater production thingy every now and then? Like, when you go to pee and there's that poster on the wall and it's
I have
for,
no
like,
idea what you're talking about.
Anyway, so Cineplex sometimes broadcasts West End plays or...
like live?
Broadway, yeah.
No. Oh.
Into theaters around the world.
See, I rarely go to the movies because then I would have to be among the commoners, and that's just not my style.
Yeah. Yeah. You were saying earlier you were having trouble talking to civilians.
Okay, so really the issue is that I like watching movies with a blanket is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. And
so, I mean, yeah. The last time I went to the movies was to watch Star Wars in 3D. And it was the 3D. That's the what people like, do you want to go? And I was like, eh. And they're like, it's in 3D. I was like, yes, yes, I do. But if there's no blanket, then I don't know how I feel about watching a movie.
Clearly, that's where Cineplex needs to move in next, is capitalize on the blanket watching populations.
Well, blanket. You're always going to have, like, people who, like, do things under the blanket.
Wait.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, and it's going to be all, like, sticky and...
Ew.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Inappropriate. Yeah. So going back to, Asia or Southeast Asia or the subcontinent of Asia specifically.
Because that actually is the largest
chunk.
If you say like, you know, Asia or South Asia or whatever. Yeah, the subcontinent of Asia.
Do you know what the subcontinent of Asia is also known as? India.
Yeah.
It's colloquially known
as. And Sri Lanka.
Yeah, up for debate.
So it's part of the continent. Like, in terms of continental shelving, it is a part of the continental shelf of India.
To this news story that I wanted to tell you about.
You don't want to debate geology with me?
No, not today. There was a gay man who was beaten and threatened by his own family with corrective rape after they found that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened in India. And it's, it definitely shows that there's significant work to do, of course. In a couple of years, last year or the year before, there was a debate as to whether or not they're going to decriminalize homosexuality. They've made massive steps for the trans population in India.
Mm-hmm.
But being gay seems to be something that's hit significant roadblocks
right.
in India. I mean, at the same time...
if anything, that shows you cultural differences in expectations, that crossing gender lines is considered more acceptable.
Well, they have that third gender.
Yeah.
And that's... You know,
well, historically, I mean, it's kind of being revived. The Raj era of British colonialism kind of erased a lot of that. Not completely, obviously, but it did erase a lot of that. So really, it's more an issue of... that third gender, as you say, coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's all over the literature, the myths, the legends, the stories, the, you know, the history, it's not a stretch for it to, like, it's not considered a big deal for it to show up again.
Well, there's definitely a substantial conversation happening in India, which is very exciting because we mentioned the great news earlier about Pakistan. The Prince Manvendra Singh Gohil, who is colloquially known as like the gay prince because he is openly gay.
Yep.
And the prince. He is a crown prince in the Rajpipla in Gujarat. Oh, so the Rajpipla is... I apologize for anyone who knows these names and I'm butchering them. Is the royal family. And Gujarat, of course, is the location where they are located. But, you know, he came out in 2006 and he's actually come out and kind of engaged in the conversation around living with HIV as well. So he's certainly having that conversation... at the forefront, which is very exciting news.
Especially since India is having troubles with... Actually, sexual health in general in India has been a bit of a struggle. And it kind of somewhat has something to do with Indian culture, but mostly it just has to do with the fact that there's a lot of them. It's hard to disseminate information to a huge population like that. I think there's something like 8% of the world's population is in India. And when you have, what are we up to now? 156 countries, I think. And your one country is 8% of that. Like, it's more than your fair share. These numbers, by the way, are alternative facts. It is my vague memory of the actual stats of these things. But I do know that between India and Sri Lanka, they do have a huge chunk of the world population. It's just a lot of people to teach about condom use and PrEP and how to avoid syphilis. And it's not easy. And also their school system is trying to adapt to these things. And I think they actually do teach sex ed, not like full on Dutch, Swedish style sex ed, but they do inform their population as much as they can. But then what that means is that when you start teaching that in primary school or high school, that means you have to wait 10 to 30 years for that population to age up and for that to be the majority of society. So there are a few issues where they're waiting for policies they put in 10 years ago to finally kick in.
But I mean, that happens in countries all over the world.
Well, I know, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, a lot of the things that are happening in India are just like, that's just bureaucracy. And it was just, some of it is they started late, but now they're doing quite well. And
it is the world's largest democracy.
Yeah.
Like, hands down.
Well, I mean, large would be actually Canada because, you know, we're pretty big.
Yeah, but we've got 30 million compared to that.
Yeah,
but
I know, but
much
like
more than 30 million.
It depends on what you mean by large when you're saying largest democracy. And technically, America is also the world's largest democracy because they have the world's highest population of overweight and obese people as well.
Oh, wow. I see what you did there. All right, before we move on to our next song, talk to me about Iceman.
What do I know about? You're the one who told me the story earlier.
Anyway, so I thought it was pretty cool. So Iceman, not only that, but they also are releasing an entire magazine. Is it magazine? What's the word? Comic book? Comic magazine? I'm not with these things.
It would either be a graphic novel or a comic book.
I want to say comic book.
So a comic book usually represents one chapter. And as of about maybe 15 years ago, what they've started doing is collecting the year's comic books and assembling them into a graphic novel. So you get all the year's comics all at once. But you normally have to wait a bit. And it's actually cheaper to buy them one chapter at a time because it doesn't have a hardcover. But then you actually have to burn your own calories to make sure they're well-preserved. Doesn't matter. We're talking about comic... what's the word? Curating. Like, we're talking about curating comic books here. That's not the point. The point is that Iceman kissed a dude.
Yes. Iceman kisses a dude in the next comic book with Iceman in it. There is a different comic book being released which has all gay superheroes, which is pretty cool.
Is it Marvel or DC or Dark Horse?
Yeah, you're asking me questions above and beyond what I know here. I know it's happening.
Because if it's like a webcomic, that's been done for quite some time, I'm sure. But if it's one of the major publishing houses doing it, that's actually a huge story. You're looking it up, aren't you?
Well, you know what? We're going to look it up and find out who is doing this big gay comic book. But whilst we wait for that, we're going to play with Troy Sivan's track called Heaven. And the reason why I chose this one is because Troy Sivan is American. We don't want to talk about Trump. Troy Sivan is American, and he released this track, the video for this track, during the inauguration of the man who must not be named. And
Voldemort.
Yes, Voldemort. During Voldemort's inauguration. And the video, if you get a chance to look at it, is like a lot of clips and footage of the gay rights movement in the States. And it's a beautiful piece to look at. It's a great, very kind of informative piece to look at. Definitely worth it. Also, a beautiful song. So we'll be back right after this. This is Troy Sivan's Heaven.
The truth runs wild like a tear down a cheek. Trying to save face and daddy heartbreak, lying through my teeth. This voice inside has been eating at me. Trying to replace the love that I fake with what we both need. Truth runs wild like kids on concrete. Trying to sedate my mind in its cage and know what I see. A weak white eye, yeah, I'm screaming at me. Trying to keep faith and picture his face staring up at me. How do I get to heaven without changing a part of me? How do I get to heaven? All my time is wasted, feeling like my heart's mistaken. Oh, The truth runs wild like the rain to the sea. Trying to set straight the lines that I trace to find some relief. This voice inside has been eating at me. Trying to embrace the picture I paint and color me free. Without losing a piece of me, how do I get to heaven? Without changing a part of me, how do I get to heaven? Losing a piece of me, how do I get to heaven? Without changing a part of me, how do I get to heaven? Truth runs wild like a tear down a cheek.
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. Now, for folks who were left intrigued, at the end of the last segment, we looked it up, and it was an indie comic called The Pride Team. Mm-hmm. They kickstarted it, so, I mean, you can check it out on Kickstarter, see if you can find it. And it's an all-gay, all-queer team of heroes, which is pretty cool. Yeah, The Advocate magazine picked up the news story earlier this month. And for folks who were super keen to get more details on Iceman, Romeo, his inhuman boyfriend, which is I-N, capital I-N, capital H, human. Apparently that's a thing for folks who do the comics. Yep. Anyway, his boyfriend is the one who he kisses, which is kind of sweet. Yeah.
Bobby Drake.
Yes.
That's Iceman's name.
And the actor who plays Iceman in the movie has said that he is willing to play Iceman as gay.
Ooh.
So who knows? Maybe we'll see an actual queer representation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe or DC Cinematic Movie Universe.
Technically, no. Iceman is X-Men, which is Marvel.
Okay, sorry. The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Technically, they already have because... what's his name? Ryan Reynolds insisted.
Oh, with Deadpool, yes.
With Deadpool, that they acknowledge his pansexuality.
Mm-hmm.
They said for the first movie, they were just going to have him be flirty and friendly, but not actually drop hints at anything. but they did have a lot of lines of dialogue that make more sense if you understand the fact that he is pansexual.
Yeah. I mean, he it looked like he was flirting with everything with, you know,
yeah,
a heartbeat. Yeah. So, I mean, and that was optional. So, you know.
Except for the guy that he was after. What was his name? I know that his name is one of the heroes from the Iliad. Not Axton. Archimedes.
Moving on.
There's somebody at home right now who's yelling at their radio.
I know. That's always the worst. So moving on. Let's bring it... So in the nation's capital, where we are based here, we actually have had a bit of a bad news. And that is that institution recently closed down. Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
So the Centerdown Pub, which is Ottawa's oldest gay bar, shut its doors on... Well, it officially closed on January the 17th. If it was a Tuesday, I don't think they're open anyway. So, I mean, I'm saying they shut their doors that day. I don't know. I should probably look it up if it was Tuesday. No, I'm not going to do that because we're on air. Now, people in the community who are in the know, I think it was back in the summer, started hearing about this sort of thing. And as it happens, when I was looking into the story, I was sort of reminded that back in February, the owners had posted that they were looking for more groups to have their meetings there. So, I mean, there's like the Ottawa Knights, which is the local leather community. Then there's the, I can't remember the name of the Bears group. There's also the leather and rubber. Those are actually separate groups. It's not leather and also rubber. It's the leather group and then also the rubber group. There's the Pups. Like, all sorts of groups have been having their meetings there. Also the Wolves, who we've had on their show about.
The Wolves are the name of a local rugby team.
Yes, and last year they competed internationally at the International Gay Rugby League.
Yeah.
Meet Association?
The Something Cup.
I don't know. The Summit is what it would be called if it's an international sports thing. Anyway, so the owner of CPs was saying that they were looking for more groups because they were having troubles basically being able to afford it. Now, some of this is not just, you know, bad management or whatever. It's the cost of downtown business spaces are skyrocketing. This is sort of across the country, just real estate issues, but also the notion that the gay bar is kind of dying as an institute. Now, so currently, something that quite a few people have taken note of is there are no gay bars in the village anymore.
Yeah, no, they've all moved out.
There are gay-friendly and gay-owned bars in the village. So there's The Buzz, and Union 613 actually has written into their policies that they are a GLBT-friendly space. And it's strange that there's a restaurant with their policies published online, but Union 613, if you actually understood what was going on, I mean, that's a different conversation, but it actually does make sense for them to do that. Currently, the gay bars in Ottawa are in the Market and not in the actual village. And so there's quite a few people who are a little bit concerned about this, not only about the future of gay bars in Ottawa, but also the future of the village, because there's been, I've heard rumblings before from various people about the, maybe we should consider moving the village to Elgin or moving the village to the Market, because that's where everything has gone. Same thing in Toronto. They have a big discussion about the fact that gay bars can't afford to be on Church Street anymore, and maybe they should move the official designation of the village to Queen Street West. But then all this means is that they're delaying the problem that they're having now by another 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And really what they need
just kicks the can further down the road.
Yeah.
And this speaks to, I mean, a lot of the, I mean, the reason why CPE Centretown Pub closed its doors is because they didn't pay you the rent.
Yeah.
They didn't pay the rent to be there. They don't own the building.
Yeah, but partly as well, you have to remember that it was actually, part of the reason why they were looking for new groups back in February is because the current owners of CP's, the
building.
No. The bar, like the actual company, Centretown Pub, that occupies the space. They've been trying to sell the business for quite some time now. And it's really hard to invest your time into a business that you're thinking about selling anyway.
Mm.
And there were no buyers. Now there's talk of other people beginning, starting up other bars in other spaces, because it could just be, actually, I think definitely that Ottawa does have the population and the interest to fill a whole gay bar, but maybe not one that's that large. So it could just be that they needed to downgrade their space, that really what they should have done is moved the location, possibly even across the street, because there's empty buildings in that area that could support a bar and already have like the business designation, or they already have a formal kitchen because there's like former restaurants in the area, that sort of thing.
So for folks listening outside of Ottawa, you know, let us know what the picture is like here. Are you seeing bars closing in your town? Are you seeing, you know, community institutions shutting shop? You know, is it just something happening now in Ottawa, or is it something happening in other places? You know, what is nightlife like in Penticton, BC? Is there a gay nightlife in Penticton, BC? Who knows? Let us know.
And don't just tell us about your nightlife in Penticton, BC as a gay person.
Because we all know that your nightlife in Penticton, BC is cray.
We're like, talking to you, Dave.
Dave, you are up all night partying until you get down.
We know about you and your unlocked front door and your blindfold.
Absolutely. And that extensive rubber collection. We are well aware of all of these things. You know, the second largest plug collection east of Montreal, west of Montreal, sorry, is
But you know that Dave, he makes really good soufflés.
That does. Dave makes the best soufflés over at Penticton, BC. But let us know what nightlife is like where you are, and we'll kind of share some stories. Absolutely.
And it actually is relevant because I think in we program our schedule every 4 months.
Yeah, we do. We have a season. Yeah.
And in the next cycle, we are planning on, well, we're considering doing, we were considering, and now I basically feel like we kind of have to at this point in time. Not because I'm saying
it behooves us.
It behooves us to do a story on the future of the gay bar and whether or not they have a future. And there's one thing in there that I do know that we are going to talk about, and that is, I believe the City of London has declared every gay bar older than, I think it's 20 years to be
So some of them have been declared heritage institutions. So the city mayor in London has kind of provided a bit of cash to keep some of them going, because, of course, in the historic Soho area, they were closing left, right, and center, because downtown London property prices, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there was a big rush to kind of designate these places as historically significant.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ever going to happen here or anywhere in Canada. Actually, generally speaking, places like bars are considered to be private institutions. If if you can't keep your bar open, that's you being a bad businessman. Sucks to suck. Glad you're closing. Seems to be the opinion of most.
But we see the Stonewall Inn was declared a national national monument,
that's in this
thingy of interest. Yeah. I mean, surely there are Canadian equivalents. Now, there
Woody Sailors?
Outside of Toronto.
Oh, there was one in Hamilton that was open for 50 years.
Wow.
That closed because they couldn't afford it.
If you live in an area with a gay bar or a queer space that has been instrumental somehow in the Canadian queer landscape or history, let us know. This is the kind of stories that we want to make sure are heard and that we want to empower you to tell. So please get in touch. Can Queer is our Facebook. Talk Can Queer, I think, is our Facebook login.
You're telling them our login? Are you going to tell their password while
the
we're
password
at it?
The password is my mother's maiden name, so if you want to check my credit card at the same time, you're more than welcome to. No, it's when you type it in. I think you type it in like /talkcanqueer, and that'll give us the webpage. No, the Facebook page. Whatever.
The password to get into Luke's phone, by the way, is a significant historical date in Wales, Welsh history.
No, it's not Welsh history.
Ooh.
No. And I've changed the number. Why are you giving people my password over the air?
Well, I didn't say which historical event.
Well, there aren't that many.
Because Wales is new, apparently.
Well, I mean, Wales was fine until that moment when we were wiped out by the English. And then we've just been that bit of England ever since. So speaking of Welsh, actually.
Are we going to talk about longbows and how they dominated the French?
No, we're not going to talk about longbows and how they dominated the French.
The Welsh were Europe.
We're going to talk about the Welshman behind Bright Lights, Bright Lights, who was teamed up with Elton John again for the song Running Back to You. It's a new single from his 2015 album called Choreography. And we'll be back just after this. This is Bright Lights, Bright Lights and Running Back to You.
You figured it out, the trick to the game. You made the fires blue and got me so drawn to the flame that I changed. It's true, at midnight and you're the same. You come to me once a day. And every time that I ask you why, you say, 'cause you know just what it takes. Just what it takes. You say, you know just what it takes. When the night falls and my mind rips into space, You figured it out, didn't you? I felt you rewrite the rules. I felt every inch of the flames burn your name. It's true, the oceans and me were the same. We both come in waves, but you learn how to sail these blues until they welcome you and you say you know just what it takes. So when the night falls and my mind drifts into space, so when I know I'm dreaming, even I can't take away, and under my shoulder you find a way to keep me running back to you, to keep me running back to you.
Welcome back to Cancri, home of Canada's Queen Media. Now, we were trying to talk about news stories which do not involve a certain president of the United States. So,
is it Channing Tatum?
Yes, it is Channing Tatum.
In at least one timeline. Yeah.
One of the news stories that kind of really shocked me was the in Russia, they have decided to decriminalize battery of family members if there's no bodily harm. So I'm not sure how they're defining bodily harm.
Yeah.
But it's no longer a crime to beat your children or your spouse about, as long as there's maybe like no lasting mark or something.
What about repetitive strain injury? Like things where each individual time you do it is harmless, but cumulatively over years you end up getting an actual permanent injury. Like you can't arrest somebody. I mean,
they argue that repeat offenders, you know, they're capturing that in their change to this law. But I mean, a lot of folks are calling it out, being like, you know, this will be giving the pass go card for people to beat their wives.
Yeah.
And it's a huge, huge issue.
Or for anyone to beat anyone they live with.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, child abuse, anti-child abuse advocates have been up in arms over this as well. Well, you know, the idea of discipline taken very much too far. So, yeah, that was pretty shocking news out of Russia that I wanted to address. Yeah.
You seem to have a survey of
news not about the state.
Yes.
So two Ivory Coast men were arrested in October, have just been released this week. Now, this is an interesting coast. Interesting coast. I mean, the Ivory Coast is an interesting coast. It's an interesting case because
I don't think it's as interesting as the fjords, though.
The fjords are very interesting.
They're very fiddly bits, yeah. That's a Slardy Bartfarst quote, of course, if you remember Slardy Bartfarst.
We're going to just move on. So in the Ivory Coast, it's not illegal for two gay men to have a relationship. However, so these two men were doing what they do. And their
Scrabble.
Uncle, they were playing Scrabble.
They were playing Scrabble.
Where Scrabble here is a euphemism for
Boggle.
Their uncle walks in. And goes to the police and, you know, claims public indecency, even though they were in, like, their own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And they were arrested, convicted, sent to prison.
Yes.
And up until pretty much this week, they kept saying, you know, what are we being arrested for? Like, why?
Guilty of what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've just been convicted of a thing. What is the thing we've been convicted of?
Mm-hmm.
So they've just been released with a lot of these questions still hanging in the air.
Yeah.
So it's not great news out of the Ivory Coast, even though it is interesting.
Yes.
The Ivory Coast itself, but not as interesting as the fjords.
Fjords, sorry. And it's... It kind of reminds us of the huge difference between culture and the legal system. You have a lot of countries in the world where the legal system is queer friendly, but the culture is not, or vice versa. So some examples, like you said, when you were in Vietnam, that you found that the culture was generally like, you're what? You're into what? Oh, okay, whatever, cool, whatever. But then the legal system cared profoundly. And there's a lot of other places in the world where it's the opposite, where, you know, on the books you're supposed to care, but then the cops just sort of, they wander by and they kind of are uninterested. And it's very peculiar that you can't use which countries it's criminalized in or not as a basis to understand what it's like.
I mean, if it's criminalized, you know, rearrange your summer vacation. Just don't go there.
Yeah.
I try to avoid going to visit countries where I could be arrested as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty high on my list of things to do. It's not illegal in Vietnam. It has never been illegal.
Oh, okay.
In Vietnam. It was never introduced in the penal codes. The French clearly just
you
didn't
said
think,
penal.
The French clearly didn't think to add it in when they colonized.
Well, it would have been Napoleonic law. So Napoleon, I think I've actually mentioned this before in a previous episode. One of the founding premises of Napoleonic law is to not make anything illegal if there are no victims. So anything which is consensual by all parties has to be legal under that system. So this is weirdly enough. So when this is the very brief history. When Napoleon actually took over Spain, he brought Napoleonic law, and they're kind of like, "Oh yeah, I'm okay with this." And so when Spain started introducing new legal systems to South America, to their South American colonies, they introduced that there, which is why somehow most of South America, even though they have machismo culture, had on the books more gay-friendly laws before America. So,
also South America has gone a long way in the last 5 years in introducing massive changes.
Absolutely. But
much faster.
Uruguay was the first country to legalize gay marriage.
Yeah.
And it is a very poor nation in South America. And they just basically said, well, you know, this whole thing about, you know, victimless crimes. Yeah, let's take that to the next level. And it was like 2001 or something like that. And the rest of the world was like Uruguay. But it makes sense if you look at the history of things. And anyway, yeah, Vietnam is what I'm talking about here. Clearly. Clearly.
Segue back.
And no. I have not been eating dark chocolate covered almonds throughout the episode, and I'm not hopped up on caffeine and sugar and chocolate. That's absolutely that is libel. And that I will
it is an alternative fact that doesn't exist in this timeline.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Now a couple of last stories. The UK British Parliament are debating whether or not private companies can make women wear high heels.
Mm-hmm.
This apparently is a contentious issue.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that you could be made to wear high heels.
If it's part of a uniform, because if it's a part of a uniform, you have to wear the stuff that goes with the uniform. This
but
is
really?
A
thing. High
yeah.
heels?
Well,
I mean, steel capped shoes make sense. If you're on a construction site, something
yep.
might fall on your foot.
Yep.
I mean, but like, I don't get it.
Flight attendants quite often have to wear, well, a lot of them, they have a very low heel. They look like a high heel, and then you see them from the back and you realize that it's only like an inch tall. So it has the look of a high heel, but it's actually almost a flat. But yeah, flight attendants, I've actually known a few flight attendants who complain about it. They're like, when there's turbulence and you're trying to push a cart and your body weight is on like a square inch on each side, it's kind of hard to stand upright and not
yeah.
elbow somebody in the head when you get thrown about.
So now you know, if you get elbowed by a flight attendant, it's just turbulence.
They might be in the heels, yeah. And yet the train attendants on the Via Rail have flats because the train shakes.
Oh,
so,
I mean, what do you think? Do you think companies should have the right to tell folks to...
My main concern is that if a woman has had a foot injury and she needs orthopedics, like, surely they should be able to accommodate, like, a lot of uniforms. There's a lot of uniforms where you can wear the skirt or you can wear the trouser depending mm-hmm. on the time of the year, so that, you know, in the summer, if it's hot, you can wear the skirt and it's nice and comfortable. But if it's winter, please cover your gams. Same thing, like, you can have a nice white high heel shoe to indicate that you're a classy dame, or you could have some kind of like a square toe loafer for the ladies to show that you got stuff to do.
Yeah, like Angela Merkel. I just immediately pictured Angela Merkel. She has very sensible shoes.
Well, when I think of sensible women, I always fall back on Sheila Copps, except that's a really dated reference. It's just that I used to live in Sheila Copps's riding, and so I actually met her a few times, and I found her to be...
To have the most sensible shoes.
She's a very practical woman. She was just on all dimensions a practical person.
So this all kind of relates into a conversation around, like, misogyny and how that all intersects. We had a whole show on it.
Oh, yes.
Which we don't have time to do now.
It was 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. But according to U.S. researchers, not the president.
Yes.
U.S. researchers.
Who are using facts from this timeline.
That are not alternative.
Yes.
They're the actual facts.
From this timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've discovered that children's get disheartened from future careers by the age of 6. So girls begin to underestimate their own talents and ability to achieve things as young as 6 without support. Can you imagine that? Just, like, even as young as 6.
Well, I grew up...
Stopping believing in your ability to achieve things.
I am a guy. I am a cisgendered male. But I grew up poor. So, yes, I completely understand what this means. You know, the you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up is not a message that applies to everyone. The fact that women of all classes, all socioeconomic classes and racial ethnic groups... experience this is very different from just saying growing up in poverty, you don't believe in the future. Mm. Obviously, this is a very different story because that's 50% of the population, regardless of any other information about you demographically, you're going to think your future sucks. I mean, that's not great.
So maybe we just need to take better care of our young girls and kind of foster and empower folks to feel that they can achieve.
Well, really what we need to do is we need to take care of everyone from a vulnerable population, bearing in mind that women need to be considered in a very specific way. Yeah. Because if you're just saying, like, you're from a vulnerable...
Additionally, we should reinforce the aspirations of young girls. So that was about the synopsis or the conclusion of our survey of news. And unfortunately, what we can't do is keep talking because we've run out of time.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us for our survey of global news, trying to minimize as much Trump exposure as possible, which was a challenge. A lot happened with Trump this week.
Yes. Yeah. It really did. But that's fine. We found alternative. We found stories from this timeline that minimize
with current facts.
Yeah. You know, I really want to thank Chuck Tingle, by the way. If he ever actually listens to our show, I want to thank him for giving us the language that we needed to speak about this in a frank and honest manner.
Now, we're playing out with Lily Allen's cover of Rufus Wainwright's song, and this actually song came out just a couple of days ago. She got into trouble because she quoted a banner, like a poster, a protest poster, that said, and I'm going to quote here directly, "Fags against Trump."
Mm-hmm.
And it was related to a pro-Trump group by the same name, but obviously... For Trump,
yes.
And she has been in trouble for tweeting that word, even though it was a direct quotation. So there's a lot of conversation happening there. But people missed the point, and the point was that she released this video using footage from the Women's March.
Which only happened, I think, 4 days before we recorded this.
Fascinating.
Yeah, really fast turnaround on this.
Absolutely. Anyways, that's all we've got time for now. And this is Lily Allen covering Rufus Wainwright. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm gonna see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. Sunday times, I'm gonna make it up for all of nursery rhymes. They never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America, making my own.